I'm Tony Langer of Langerwork.
I'm Steve Ramsey.
I'm Emmett from Dead Rise Woodcrafts, and I'm a maker, and I'm figuring it out.
Welcome to Makers Figuring It Out, a show we strive to educate, motivate, and inspire makers of all skill levels with special guest makers, tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, and many things in between. I'm Steve Huber from Wolf Woodworking Creations, and joining me, as always, is Jacob from Data Sun Wood Art.
What's going on, Steve?
Pretty much. There's a little
joke.
Like
I like how you bailed out at the last minute there, but it's okay. It's cool. I totally gave you that option before. Yep. Before.
Okay.
So you're
that's good. Okay, Jacob Anguiano.
Hey, that was pretty good, actually.
Hey, there you go. Thanks.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Pretty golf clap. Yeah. Nice golf clap there.
I appreciate that. I really do. So how you been? It's been a week.
Been a tough week. Tough week at work. Yeah. But it's all right, you know, just one of those weeks, you know, you get over it. Some days are better than others, but no, doing all right, all things considered.
Yeah, hopefully there's always tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, there always is. Tomorrow. How about you? How's your week?
Now that song is stuck in my head. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, at least it's better than Baby Got Back.
No, it's not, actually. I would disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I think Sir Mix-a-Lot kicks Annie's ass all day long.
True, but, you know, he kind of is a classic now. He wasn't when it... So anyway, if you guys would like to support us, we have a Linktree account that you can find on our Makers Figuring It Out Instagram page, channel, whatever you guys call it on there. So there's also there's a link for buy us a coffee or buy me a coffee, and you can support us that way. Jacob, what else do we got?
Yeah, you said Linktree on the Instagram page. You said Correct. Buy us a coffee.
Yeah,
support us here on Anchor. And if they want something a little bit more physical or tangible, they can go on to teespring.com and get one of our cool shirts that you happen to be sporting as well.
Yeah, I'm sporting it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely supporting that shirt. They're actually really cool. One of our guests gave us the inspiration to one of them, and, you know, get lathed.
Yeah.
Their hashtag get lathed. I like that. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Emmett at Dead Rise. Yeah.
Yeah. Emmett at Dead Rise. So, but yeah, so that's how you guys can support us if you'd like. And if you don't like, well, share us a review or something like that. Jacob will tell you all that at the end of the show, though. So, you know, stay tuned for that, because that's when the next show comes on. Anyway,
Steve gets all the free, all the paid options. I'm all the freebies. I'm the very low budget, cheap date.
Yep, you really are.
Pretty much.
I haven't taken you out on a date yet, though.
Yes, I know. What's with that? It's been almost a year.
Sorry. It's just I couldn't find the time, and the distance is a little problematic.
It's okay. You got commitment issues. I get it. I do.
I do. But I don't think our guest has commitment issues.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so, because they have been making and selling custom furniture for the last 17 years. Holy crap. And it's not the kind you can find in a secondhand store.
Very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried.
I get it.
That's very great. They actually do some educating and the youth in and around Atlanta. Their mantra could also be great and live passionately. And they are married with four adorable and extremely witty children. Their words, not mine. I'm going to go trust her because she's that person. She's also a kind of sewer of woodworking, or a maven, if you will. Friends, the wooden maven. Hey, Char.
What's up, y'all? How's it going?
Not too much. Hey. How you been? Glad you could make it.
Yes, thank you for having me. Looking forward to chatting today.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for being on.
Yeah, through that whole thing, I watched you roll your eyes. It's okay. Like, oh, God, what did I get myself into?
Totally not rolling my eyes. Well, probably like at one of the kids in the background.
Yep. Yeah, we all do that. Well, not anymore. Mine are gone.
And you've got four children, right? And yes. the youngest are twins. What's it like being a mom of four?
It's a combination between an LSD trip and Jurassic Park.
Just monsters running around all over the place, and you're not really sure which way is up.
Right, like what's happening right now? You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun because I grew up as the only child, so there was a lot of like extreme boredom. But now
you and I have that in common.
Yeah, it's boring, right?
Yeah. But I got all the cool toys.
Yeah, I did too. But I definitely like people better than things. So
yeah.
Now I don't have to worry about that because it's just like 24/7 chaos.
Right. Constant people all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. And if it ever becomes quiet, you're like, it's too quiet. What's going on? What's going on? Why aren't they making noise? Why aren't they killing each other?
Exactly.
Yeah. Then you become concerned.
Yep. Yeah, see that? No, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just Dad and I, and we like it both quiet. So there's no real. He keeps the TV too loud, but you know, when you get to be age 87, you can turn the TV up as loud as you want to.
Exactly. Live your life. No filter.
Nope. Exactly. You've earned whatever you want to do at that point.
Yep. Pretty much. So Char, how did you? Yep. Yeah.
Which one? Go ahead.
Me or you?
No, age before beauty. One. Yeah, I did have the last one. I'm sorry.
Please qualify for both of those, by the way. Thank you.
Please go.
Yeah. So, Char, how did you learn how to do what you're doing now? Or not the business, but, you know, just making in general? You know, what lit the fire in that creativeness of yours?
Being poor lit the fire for me. You know, not being able to afford stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated from college 20 years ago, I couldn't afford the bed. I know, right? Do the math. You're like, wait a minute, I thought you were 25, so you had kids and you were basically like 3.
I was thinking more like you were 28.
Oh, well, gee, thanks. I was trying to fit that, you know, 25. And below age bracket, but I'll take 28.
Hey, I'll give you 28. I definitely give you 28.
I appreciate that.
No problem. Until I see your 25-year-old child run behind you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry.
But as a side note, though, she is my twin, and Apple confirmed that because she is able to unlock my phone with her face.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about strong genetics, man.
Seriously. I'm like, at first I thought it was a fluke until she did it like 10 more times. So,
and you're like, okay, I got to go to the thumbprint now.
Right? I'm like, delete internet history. So,
did that. Never mind. That's totally.
When I graduated, there was this bed that I wanted and I literally could not afford it, but I was like dead set on buying this bed. So I kept going back to the store thinking it would be on sale or, you know, somebody would just like give it to me. Mm-hmm. And I concluded that I could possibly build this bed. This was before YouTube, by the way. So I had really nothing to go on except for books at the library. I borrowed a drill from my boss at the time, and it took me 3 months to build this like platform bed, but I slept on the bed for 7 years. Nice. And that is pretty much like how it started. That and making like really crappy furniture with butt joints. I'm just like, I just want to cut some wood this weekend and that's it. And then I spent like the next decade trying to figure out how I could do that full time. And 6 years ago I did. And I left my corporate job without a plan or any savings or anything. I was just like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I left and thank you, Jesus. It paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I read your blog post about that of just kind of going for it. And I gotta say, I'm truly impressed. And like, I'm sure a lot of people that listen to our podcast or that we talk to in general, they have kind of reservations about following their passion and like maybe going out on a limb and being able to do that full time, or maybe not wanting to do that full time and like feeling they would ruin it as a hobby and they would lose the passion if they made it their job. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you have to keep in mind the reason why you're doing it, right? All I like to do is make things, but I like to make things without expectation, which sort of limits like the arena of doing commissions full time, because there is an expectation there. And I am sort of moving out of that space right now, as you can see, and doing some other things thanks to the pandemic that's just shifted everybody's life. But yeah, absolutely. Once it becomes a job, you're like, oh, I have to do this now and I don't want to do it. So you have to be very careful and decide exactly what passion you want to follow. Be clear about why you want to do it. I know that I served my time in corporate America. I worked for 15 years and had a salary job and lots of red tape and bureaucracy and the good old boys club, and I hated it. I am not much of a rule follower when it comes to those things and asking permission to do things that I feel like I don't need to ask permission for, and I can't live in that world. So right. What I'm doing now, I don't have to ask anybody for anything. If I do not want to make anything that day, I can lay on the couch and watch Netflix. I don't, but if I wanted to, I could. Yeah. I turn down things that I don't want to do because I don't have to. I don't have to do them. I know what it is like to have to do those things, and I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. The ability to say no is, I think, is incredibly powerful. I think, and ultimately, it's that pursuit of freedom, right? Like the freedom to be able to make your own choices, you know, to be able to say yes to what you want, to say no to what you don't want to do.
Exactly. And learning the power of no, because I realize saying yes to everything is also not a smart idea, because that leads to like sleepless nights and just extreme overwhelmness where you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. And I can do that. And I can do this. And you're like, wait a minute. What did I just commit to? That's right. Too much. I can't handle all that. So yes, learning the power of no, has been a learning curve for me, for sure.
Good.
Yeah, that's where the stress comes in, when you have all that happening and you're like, I left the corporate America so I didn't have this stress of You gotta have this done, but you still have deadlines, you know, that you're still working towards, right? But there's probably, you know, probably don't have those surprise deadlines that, you know, hey, we need this done by yesterday. You know, so that must be kind of nice.
Yeah, it is. And on those days, which are very few, when I think, oh my gosh, I just have so much to do. I'm so stressed out. I'm so overwhelmed. I take myself back to a worst day in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And I go, what I'm going through right now is nothing compared to that particular day when I'm thinking, I just wish I could leave this job. And I'm like, okay, I'm cool.
All right, perspective.
That is a cool way to do things, or, you know, to look at the world. So, yeah, I kind of find myself doing the same thing. So yeah, it definitely does work. The one thing other that I also try to do is, if I'm faced with a situation, I kind of look back at all the other situations that I've been put into, and I'm like, well, I made it out of those, you know, it's a short-term problem and I have to just get through it and then, you know, tackle the next one as they come along. And once you start getting that mindset, everything just seems to mellow out.
Exactly. Mm. Resilience.
Yep. Not as resilient as I used to be. A little older, a little wiser, a little grayer.
I don't know about wiser.
Yeah. Man, you're just cutting up today, aren't you, buddy?
I know. I'm just full of needles.
You're showing off.
That's what am doing. I?
Yep, you're showing off for Char. It's okay. I mean,
we got to put our best foot forward here.
We do.
I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, let's see. So, yeah.
words. Well, you mentioned corporate America. Like, what was your prior job before, you know, becoming a woodshop teacher and getting into, you know, becoming the wooden maven?
I worked for a university here in Georgia, managing satellite campuses for a graduate program. So I had, I think, five campuses under me at the time and a staff. So we managed events, students, faculty, offering that white glove service for the programs, because a lot of the students were working professionals.
Right.
And we provided that white glove type of service for them. So I did that for, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years. And prior to that, I was in the trade show industry with the convention center, where we did, I think the largest event that I ever coordinated was like 90,000 people.
Holy wow.
You said so 90 with the 90.
Yes. 90,000 people. That was the largest one that I did. And I remember it being in July, and the air went out in the entire convention center. It was so brutal. It was awful. I mean, the HVAC system just could not keep up with the demand,
right,
that we were asking for, because all of the attendees were filling every single corner of the convention center. I mean, we were like 1.4 million square feet of space.
Jesus.
With like 9 exhibit halls and 100 meeting rooms, and they were just all packed with people. It was insane, but I enjoyed that job, but it was stressful, because I was the point of contact for everybody between the client and the facility. And there were a lot of late nights and weekends work and holidays work. And it was a lot. It was a whole lot. So those are some of the days that I think back on when I'm having a rough day now, is when I'm still at work at 2 o'clock in the morning and I have to be back at 6 the next day, or it's the day after Thanksgiving and I have to show up to work, or when we had a snowstorm, or when the roads were iced over, or when I missed a wedding. And I think back to those times and I'm just like, yep, let me just walk the 10 steps outside to my shop and turn on the light and turn on this table saw and get to work.
Yep.
Right.
It's your therapy. It's
that perspective, like what it used to be, what it is now, world's a difference.
Yes.
Like, yeah. a bad day now doesn't really hold up to a bad day then. But I think that's also great, the progression that you've had as well, so that you can, you know, you know what it's like to have really bad days, and like you can appreciate what you have now.
Oh yeah, for sure. And what I tell people, for people who want to take that leap from, you know, corporate America or doing something that they half love, and I think people's first hesitation is finances, right? And I get that. I mean, we need some sort of income just to survive. And especially if you have dependents that are counting on you for their well-being. You know, I get that too. But what I tell people is that you will be happier broke following your passion than you would be rich or well off in something that you don't enjoy doing.
I will agree with that 100%. I will agree with that. You know, so that's yeah, you're pretty smart, Char.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you get this far being a dummy.
I don't know. I did a pretty good job. And so did Jake, man. He's a smart dude.
You speak for yourself, sir.
He's a cook. He's a chef. I'm sorry.
I'm a chef.
There's a big difference between a cook and a chef.
Yes, there is.
A cook works at Waffle House. A chef works for...
I wouldn't go that far.
All right? The chef works for the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
I work at the training facility, yeah.
Very cool.
Mr. All Humble there.
For them and the Pelicans, but you know, I'm not technically allowed to say that, and I don't really work for the Saints. I work for a third-party contractor that happens to work there.
Oh, semantics.
Semantics, you know. Semantics.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato, Saints, Pelicans. You know.
But, yeah, but I always say, like, I mean, all chefs are cooks, but, like, when it comes to, like, the difference between a cook and a chef, like, anyone can be a good cook. Anyone can, like, you know, you could have this guy that, you know, cooks the hell out of a jambalaya, or this woman that cooks the hell out of, like, you know, eggs and does breakfast, like, amazing breakfasts or amazing pastries or, you know, wonderful pastas or whoever, you know, or whatever it be. But a chef has to be more. They have to be more proficient, more precise, more creative, you know, faster, better, you know, more on point. It's just, it's a higher plateau of standard, I feel, that you have to push yourself to strive for. And when I was in culinary school, and or whenever I would tell people, like, I like the constantly having to keep refining my skills and keep having to be better, because trends are always changing. What's new is always changing. There's different techniques always being developed, and you have to always be on top of your game to really excel at being like a really top level chef. So there's never really like just a sit back and relax, you know, kind of chef. I mean, there are, and there's plenty of people in, even in this industry that I've seen, like, you can fall back into mediocrity, and that's unfortunately rewarded that I, you know, but the true one-offs really strive themselves to keep constantly being better.
I need some of your recipes, because I live with a bunch of people who have these like really exquisite palates. Mm-hmm. And when they say, why aren't you making the gourmet meals anymore? Like, because my brain is not in my head right now. We're having chips for dinner. That's it. That's all I can manage today.
Just eat your nuggets and be happy.
Right. I remember like years ago when the kids were much younger, they would pretend that we were on an episode of Chopped.
Nice.
And they would say, oh, you're Chopped. This isn't good. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I'm like, dessert is Chopped. But exactly. Now I'm no chef, but I think I've gotten my skill back. So they make me present dinner in a very, very flavorful way every night with my French accent. And it can't just be chicken and rice. It has to be hand seared chicken breast seasoned with smoked paprika.
Describe to them.
Yes, yes. And they love it. They love it because we get to introduce, you know, new dishes and new things to them cooked in a different way. Because of course they all like something different.
Of course. It would just be too easy if they all like the same thing. I mean, mac and cheese and hot dogs, who likes that anymore?
I know, right? Like, ugh.
I mean, that's one of my favorites. So I cook for many people in this world. I still say to this day, I will eat mac and cheese and hot dogs if I get the hot chance to. But we'll definitely swap recipes. That's not like the greatest plug for myself and my skills.
I know, seriously. Help this mama out. I'm running out of ideas.
Dude, you gotta be proud of what you're doing, man. I know you're proud of what you do.
Oh, I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud of my skill and what I do. You know, just like I said, like getting into like the corporate and like the administrative side and like all the computer work and files and paperwork and all this other crap that I really care nothing for. That's kind of draining. Like the actual creative part of it, the actual act of cooking, I still have enormous amounts of love for. I love sharpening my skills. The other stuff, I'm not a big fan of.
It's time for an assistant.
Don't I wish?
Aren't you the assistant?
Yeah.
You're the sous chef, aren't you?
I'm the sous chef. So I assist the executive chef, and we have a food supervisor. She helps me a lot too, but more in the physical of like actually managing the kitchen. So I'm still, it helps me be out of the kitchen less, which is kind of counterintuitive to what I really want in my mind. But you know, I mean, it is what it is. I still get into the kitchen. I help as much as possible, and you know, develop recipes or help cook or help push the food out. But most of my focus is on like administrative work, as unfortunately. But that's what I found, like when you climb up the ladder, you know, you kind of leave the kitchen behind and you do more, you're kind of more out front instead of back in the kitchen. And I always thought, found that to be odd.
That's the same kind of progression that's in the military. You start out at, you know, swabbing decks, and then you make your way up. And then the next thing you know, you're like, you're at a job that you really enjoy. And you're like, I love this. This is great. Oh, here's a promotion. Huh. Oh, sorry. You can't do that job anymore. You're, you know, you're above that now. And you're like, but I enjoyed that. Can I do the same thing and get paid? No.
Nope.
It's one or the other. And it's like, I'll take the money.
That's how it works.
You know, I mean, you know, enjoyment won't pay all the bills.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, and it's funny because remember Jenny Davis actually said that was it enjoyment or happiness is not a form of payment.
Right.
I think
that is true.
Happiness is not a form of payment, which like it's a very true statement. Like just because it makes you happy doesn't mean that you'll you know, it's necessarily the return that you need to be able to pay bills, but it doesn't mean that happiness isn't, you know, isn't important for what you do.
Good point.
But speaking of happiness and enjoying what you do, you're actually a woodshop teacher. You teach classes to children and adults, right?
Yeah, more so before the world came to an end last year. But yeah, that is actually my favorite thing is teaching. I mean, how cool is that to be someone's first experience with a power tool?
That is pretty cool. And
I would love to, if I could go back in time, I'd be a teacher. It's just to see the, not adult teaching, because unless they really want to be, you know, whatever you're teaching, but high school, nope. Because I remember being in high school and not giving a rat's butt what the teacher's talking about. But
words
are hard, man. Words are.
It's the first point of contact with them, like their first experience that you really enjoy, or is there more to it?
How old are these young peoples?
The youngest that I've taught how to use a saw was 7, and I think I've had someone in my class who was about 80.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So some people took wood shop, you know, 30, 40 years ago and may be retiring and just need a refresher. Some people are taking on a specific project and they say, okay, I want to do this, but I'm not familiar with these tools. So we get in the shop, we talk about tool safety, and we talk about what you can do with these particular tools and why. And one of the things that I think is lacking from your traditional videos, your YouTube videos, they're explaining how to do something, but not necessarily explaining why.
Right.
Right. Yep.
And that's where I think it separates me from a lot of people. And as far as teaching is explaining the why behind what we're doing, why we're standing here, what will happen if we don't stand here. Why we're using this particular tool, not just, okay, pick up this and do that. It's like, no, if you don't do this, your finger will probably get chopped off. And I'm sure you don't want that. So
I'd like to have a saw stop.
Yeah, missing limbs are probably a big deterrent or a big turnoff for getting into a, you know, woodworking, I'm sure.
Right. But I tell people, I mean, I've cut myself, I think twice in the past week, just being careless in the shop. You know, you're gonna get some bumps, you're gonna get some scrapes and some bruises, even if you're paying attention, even if you're skilled, something's gonna happen. I cut my hand on a white side spiral bit. And maybe somewhere in the back of my mind, I just didn't think it was that sharp. Because they're actually bits from my CNC, but for so long in my router, I had these very, very old Ryobi bits.
Yep, that'll do it.
It, It was sort of like the day that I stopped using a Craftsman and got a Milwaukee drill. And I was like, drills are supposed to go that fast and have that much power? I had no idea.
Yeah, but, actually the question that I find this amazing with anybody, but so you started out building a bed 17 years ago, I guess. Is that
correct? Yeah, I think 2003. Yeah. 17, 18.
So you went from building a bed, not knowing how to build a bed and researching it in a library to today where you're actually teaching other people how to do it. So how did you learn all your skills? Was it trial and error? Did you take classes? Or it was just, I've accumulated enough knowledge. I think I want to pass it on.
Most of it was self-taught. I do believe that each of us are given a gift. And a lot of times that gift comes naturally. Some people are born to sing. They've never taken singing lessons and they have amazing voices.
Yeah, those people.
I know. Some people are athletic and they were born that way. They weren't necessarily trained. They were just born that way.
Hate those people too.
So I think that my passion for building is my gift. I think I took maybe a few like small classes, like let's make a picture frame or something. Later on, I spent a lot of time with one of my favorite woodworking teachers. There's a big woodworking store here in Atlanta who just gave me so much information, but most of it was just self-taught and trial and error. And I feel like whatever is supposed to happen for you, if you live in your gift and you live in your passion, it will happen anyway.
Yeah. I like that.
Like if you're doing things right, you'll eventually find your way there.
Exactly. So I know for a fact that I am where I'm supposed to be in life, and I embrace that and welcome all the opportunities that come with it, because I don't take it for granted, because there's people who are 50, 60, 70, and they will say that they don't know what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. So I don't believe that.
I'm pretty much thinking that's me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Whatever. Yeah. Doesn't look like it to me.
I have a lot. Let's put it this way, Char. I have a lot of interests, and they wax and they wane. And that's just the way it goes for me. I can't focus on, I could focus on one thing for like maybe 5-6 years, and then it goes to something else, and then something else pops up, and it's like, oh, then I get into that. And I still want to do some of the other stuff, but I'm like, well, the new one's taken over. So
that's okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean,
it's the whole stick-to-itiveness, or that it's kind of like, well, I did this for 5 years, I'm going to do this. But that's kind of what I did in the military also. I never did the same job twice. Some of it was on purpose, some of them was not.
I think that's also like an unfortunate stereotype that comes by. Like, once you pick something, you have to commit to it for the rest of your life and you cannot change your mind whatsoever.
Not like an opinion.
Pretty much. or like going to college. You have to, like, right out of high school, pick what you want to do the rest of your life. Don't ever change your mind ever again.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that either. I get bored easily. I change my mind a whole lot. I mean, even within this realm of woodworking and building, I mean, I started off just making random things for no one, just for myself. And then it evolved to commissions. I was like, oh, this is boring. I don't want to do this. I don't like this anymore. And then it moved to teaching. And then the pandemic happened and I wasn't able to teach. And then brands started reaching out and they're like, will you do this? I'm like, sure. And then I you know, found out I like doing TV and production, and I still get to talk about wood and screws, and it just, it's in the same area, but you know, your interests change and other things change around you. And I feel like it's totally okay to explore those other things, whatever makes you fulfilled at the moment.
Exactly. And like it, and like, you can't actually find out what you want to do if you never try anything. If you, or if you just do one thing, how can you know? You have nothing to compare it to.
Exactly.
I just like seeing people, you know, I love hearing the stories where I built a bed and now I'm a teacher. Those stories just fascinate me. I guess more so than, well, I went to, you know, school to be a environmental scientist, and now I am one, and this is what I do. You know, it, you, I think when you start out and then you grow within that, it kind of makes it even more special than, oh, I kind of like this, I'm going to go to college and do that. And then you kind of like, eh, it's okay. But you, I could tell just by the expressions on your face and how you smile when you talk, you really love what you do.
You know? I do.
Yeah, it comes across very passionately.
Yep. But you can also see that she's a loving, caring mom too.
Who gets judged, who gets judged enormously on her cooking, apparently.
I know. Yes, yeah. I love my children. They don't give me a break. One of the twins has figured out how to pick the lock. I sometimes lock myself in the bathroom or the closet, and she has figured out how to pick said lock. So
that's not concerning at all.
No, I call her Shawshank. That's her nickname.
I like that.
All right, I'll shoot you some recipes on the low, and so you can help calm them down for a little bit.
Okay. Don't be surprised if you get like a DM and you're like, this doesn't sound like Char, because they like to like go into Instagram and like actually video chat people or like message them.
Right.
I'm like, you guys can't, you can't call people when I'm not
there.
Not around.
If they're not like full coherent sentences, be concerned.
Oh no. Well, that's the problem. Thanks to virtual school and the sudden use of technology in our home, the little ones they type and complete grammatically correct sentences. And I didn't know that during class or in virtual school, one of my twins would send messages in the chat to her teacher, and she would say, you didn't call on me when I had my hand raised, and that made me very upset. And the teacher's like showing me the messages during like parent-teacher conference. I'm like, okay, can we just disable the chat? Because she's just gonna chat you. She's sending like emails to her older sister's friend. She's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm in class too. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't do that, okay? No. But they're wise beyond their years. I can't contain it.
As Jacob tells me, focus.
Get back on track. So be concerned is what's on the line message there.
Yes, because they will try and have you believe that it's me, and it's not. And I'm only saying that because it's happened. I went out of town once, and I left my iPad here. Uh-oh. And I found out that they had FaceTimed several people when I got back.
Hey, the kids are still the same. The kids are still the same. You know, for the 40 years ago when I was younger, when you first learned how to use the telephone to call Grammy or, you know, uncle or something like that, and they had that whole, I called China by accident, you know, because you just start punching numbers on that, or you start with the rotary and you just think, oh, China. And then mom and dad gets that bill. So the kids haven't changed. The technology has. So they're doing the same thing. They're calling China, but you don't get the, you know, $500 phone bill, luckily.
Right.
Exactly.
But
you find out about it later.
Yeah.
When something shows up at your door from China.
Yeah. Or you like, go to a parent-teacher conference and they're like, hey, see this?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Like, I don't know where she learned that. It wasn't me.
Yeah, like, well.
So I know we talked before the show. I'm sorry, and I hate to bring this up, but it's a question that I really think is important. And I know I said we're not like a question answer show, but it's one of these questions that we have written down that I'm really curious as to the answer of, for you, Shara, being a woman and being a woman of color, like what is people's reaction when they find out that you're a woodworker? You teach wood shop, and that you're in commercials and you're on TV and you do all these things. Like, how do people react to that?
About maybe once every month or so, when I would teach, I would get there early. Some people would get there early. We stand around, we chat. I kind of get a gauge on their prior experience with tools or woodworking, just so I'll know how to set the frame for the class. If you're a beginner, we're gonna be very like rudimentary, right? But if you have some experience, I know not to talk to you like you're five. So some guy, who's always a guy, walk in, always. He will look lost, say, excuse me, are you here for the woodshop class? Like, kind of, respond, yeah, like, why are you asking me? And kind of keep walking. I go, oh, I'm the woodshop teacher. And for a split second, the look on their face, like, I'm like,
mm-hmm. I could see that.
The confusion, the acceptance, and the awkwardness.
Yes. And I love it every single time. Because on our meetup for the class, I didn't have my picture up there intentionally. It was just like a picture of a dovetail box or something I built, right? But I never put my picture up there for good reason, right?
Right.
Because unfortunately, people are so judgmental, right? You look at me, you see me with a bunch of kids, you're like, it's probably just some housewife with a bunch of kids. I'm like, if you roll up to my house and see my shop, your mouth would hit the floor, right? I'm like, but I don't go around like wearing woodworker shirts or whatever. I'm like, it's just something that I do. It's not who I am, it's something that I do. But I think initially when the brand first started taking off, people were very like weird to me. Like I would be in a group. I remember once I took a class on they had introduced some new like product and we went to like try it out. Of course it was me and like five guys, right? All white. And I promise you, in a group of five guys, everyone takes on a different role, right? There's always a guy in there who treats me like a daughter. There's always a guy that treats me like I know nothing. There's one who does not talk to women at all, right? They don't care. We are beneath them. There's one that's gonna try to flirt with me. In every group, I can expect it. I'm just like, okay. And I usually know who it is, right?
You're gonna be that guy.
Yep.
I know what guy he's gonna be.
I'm like, got my list out. I'm like, yep, I was right. I'm a good judge of character. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So this is what we're doing. I'm used to it, but when I first got into it and some people would treat me kind of differently, like I didn't know anything. And I remember once kind of getting like my feelings hurt by it. And I said, okay, I did not like the way that I felt. And I promised myself that day that I would never let anybody make me feel the way that I felt, that I was not good enough or that I did not deserve to be in this arena simply because I'm a woman and because I'm black. I'm like,
you're black?
To me, that's the stupidest. I know. Oh, shit. Like, I just found out that too. But I'm black.
Wow. Shit. changes the dynamics of everything now.
I know that just changes. It changes everything. It changes everything.
It does.
But here's the thing.
We have to restart the podcast. I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah, you said. You said, you know, she's a woodshop teacher. You just said she's a black woodshop teacher. She's a black mother.
Yep, I didn't need to because you're a woman, and I didn't even actually use pronouns.
I noticed that.
Thank you. It's also the suspense. Yeah, you know, it's like who's he talking about? You know, exactly. But I think when you know the Maven came out, they're like, oh, we already know who that is.
Yeah,
but I actually did that on purpose because, you know, and I'd like to think that we want more women to come on this show.
Absolutely.
Because it's a totally different outlook and opinion on the same topic, woodworking, you know, and that way it could maybe, it opens somebody else's eyes to, oh, women can do the same things as men.
Yeah, but there's always that guy, right?
There is. There's one in every group.
Well, it had to be me. Damn it.
But, no, it's cool. No, it's I like being that person, and I'm the what I tell my friends, my white friends or my non-black friends, I'm the black friend that you can say what you need to and not like sugarcoated. Like I was on a call the other day and someone said, well, you know, if you know any other female woodworkers that we can talk to. And I said, are you looking for black, white, tall, short, whatever? And they go, well, I mean, we would like some diversity. I said, you need more black people. I said, just say that, you know, I'm not going to take offense. Like I am aware that most people are either trying to appear that they aren't racist or they really aren't. And they realize that they don't know enough black people or have any black friends. And some people want to change that for good reason. And some people just want to do it for show.
Right.
And I'm like, you, me? Steve, you want to change? You said for show.
Do I want to change? No.
Not for show. He wants to change it on the show, but not for show. But I would definitely.
No, my goodness, no. No.
Damn it, Steve.
No, for the show.
For the show.
Got it. Not for show. Yeah, I just want to show people that I'm, you know.
Oh,
no, man. No, God, no.
If you leave out a word, things could go bad, right? That buzz important.
That is
true. You're right about
that. That is true.
No, I'm
okay. Back up.
But it's like you said, like when, yeah, calm down, Fanny, cool off there, Steve. It's okay. Hold on. It's okay.
Where is it?
But it's like you said, like in general, like when people think of like woodworker or metalworker or just maker in general, it's not of somebody of color. It's not of, you know, anyone that's black or Spanish or maybe even Asian, but it really is bigger than that. Like, had someone say like I'm a maker, like I took them to the makerspace that I'm at, and like because they were having a party and someone commented like, this is the whitest shit I've ever seen. I'm like, but it's, I mean, yeah, I get that stereotype and like people feel that way, but like it's bigger than that. It's way more diverse than that. Like there are, it's a very diverse community. It's just like that diversity doesn't always get the attention that it deserves, like, yeah, most things.
Well, I'm changing it.
And that's what I was trying to get at is that, thank you. You might have saved my ass.
Got you.
I don't know what that means. But, you know.
I do that a lot, too.
I really like to have the fairer sex on our show. Because it gives, like I said, it gives them a different perspective of the same exact thing. Because you could look at a piece of wood. Somebody else could look at a piece of wood. You could see one thing. They could see something else. But, you know, man, I'm going to put my foot on my mouth. So right there. But I really like to have more women on the show just to get that opinion. And, you know, so it wasn't that. Yeah. I'm going to stop recording for a second because I'm about to put my foot in my mouth.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
You can say it to me. Well, you can edit it out there.
Okay. You know, I was just, why don't I, you know, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. Stupid freaking television. That's what's going on.
Television.
It really is. It's just
a likely story.
We're inundated. Well, I am. I'm inundated because my dad's 87 years old. And it's like, you got to be careful what you say around, you know, women of color or people that aren't white. And I'm just like, oh my God, what if she takes it wrong? What if she takes this wrong? What if I say the wrong thing and she gets mad at me? And I'm
right.
And that's what I was starting to stumble on. I'm like, hey, you're overthinking shit too much. So
yeah, we had
no. If someone says something to me that I feel is offensive, of course I'll say something. Of course I would say something, you know, that's not cool. But what I'm finding out is, which just kind of like blows my mind, is there are a lot of people who are older than me who had no idea that white privilege existed. I have a friend who was taking a diversity class, and she had this worksheet, and it had questions like, I feel like I'm being watched when I go into a store, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, rarely, 5, always.
Right.
Questions like that, like 25 questions. And she would put her number and then she sent it to me to fill it out. And she was supposed to take it back to class. And the numbers were so different, right? And I mean, she's 55 and said she had no idea that Black people had to deal with those sort of things, that white people have never even considered or had to think about in their lifetimes. And I'm happy to, I'm not here to educate, but happy to share those things to open up people's eyes to say, okay, this is the stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis. When the Black Lives Matter movement happened last summer and everyone's like, are you okay, Char? You know, I'm just checking on you. I'm like, I've been Black all my life. So this didn't just start happening now. This has been like forever for like the past 400 years.
And you just realized it. I knew it all along. I know, right? Figured it out.
What can I do? I'm like, I don't know. Your people brought us over here. We didn't do anything. We were chilling at home and then we got snatched up. What do you mean? What should you do? I don't know. But of course I didn't say that. And I'm joking for people who think like I'm nice. Most of my friends are white. White people can't say that. They can't say, oh, I have a Black friend. There's certain things you can't say, right? But I could say that. But I will pull someone's coattail if they say something that I feel is out of line or inappropriate. And it's not that they're trying to be rude or mean. Maybe you just don't know.
Yeah,
you need more Black friends to tell you the truth.
They
need more education. Get away from that blissful ignorance.
Yeah, as you know, a white male in this country, I hear both sides, and I can only understand one side, and I would just like to be the well-rounded guy. Besides, you know, physically, get it.
Yes, we get it. Thank you. Okay.
I would like to be the well-rounded so I can, you know, understand where somebody's coming from. And honestly, that just really started happening when I went back to college. And believe it or not, it was with classical music, because I hated classical music. You know, I mean, except for Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, you know. But I was like, and then I started listening to it because I had to. And it was like, oh, this is very beautiful. Oh, my God. There's more of this. That kind of that awakening, if you want to call it, was, you know, kind of what I'm trying to figure out here.
So I got you.
You know, that it's just, you know, I'm glad you brought it up because I was starting to feel uncomfortable. Like, oh crap. Uh-oh. I didn't.
I think especially in today's day and age with like things becoming so integrated. I mean, I can speak from my situation, like, cause I've been in an interracial relationship for like almost 7 years now. And there's still been times in recent memory where my girlfriend and I will walk into someplace. And I remember this very vividly. Actually, it was 3 years ago. We walked into this place. I was dropping her off to meet some friends. And the place, the second we walked in there, the place went dead silent. Like, she was literally the only Black person there besides like some of the serving staff. And it went dead silent. And I looked around and said, can I help all of you with something? And like, they went back to awkwardly talking amongst themselves. And I felt good. Uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable leaving her there by herself. That's, I stayed for like a solid 30 minutes or 45 minutes until her friends actually showed up, until more of them actually showed up. And she convinced me that she was okay. But like stuff like that, it's still incredible to me that things like that still happen in this day and age. I think people need to understand and accept that things still do happen like that in this day and age. And we need to not shy away from it, but like face it head on to be able to actually get over it.
Exactly. Exactly. And Steve, you're doing the right thing. Sometimes you have to have those difficult conversations with people, you know, those uncomfortable conversations. I mean, that's the only way you're going to grow.
That is true. And that's why I like having them. I just want to grow. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody singing Kumbaya or something like that. You know, but that's probably never going to happen, but it's a dream, you know. What do you want to do? I'm just looking for world peace. You know, thank you. Give me my flowers and put my crown on. I'm world peace. That's all I want. But speaking of what I want is we need money. So we need to take a break so we can go pay the bills, give Jacob a chance to go take care of business.
Yes. You know,
he needs another alcoholic beverage.
I do.
Yep, see? So I'll tell you what, friends, we'll be back with the Wooden Maven right after these messages. If you are in need of a little happy artwork for your home, office, or shop, then be like Jacob and I and many others by stopping by the Creative Ward Gallery on Instagram and Facebook. There you will find many beautiful Bob Ross inspired artworks by the very talented Marion Ward. All are hand painted and no two are exactly the same. So join Jacob and I in our support of this happy little art gallery by picking up your work of art, or work of Marion in this case, for your space or as a gift for family or friends. You won't be disappointed. Mention our podcast and you'll get free shipping in the United States. That's the Creative Ward Gallery on Facebook and Instagram. Has your cutting board seen better days? What about those pesky sweat rings on your fine furniture? Do you like to read but find it difficult to hold the book open without your hands getting cramped? Well, friends, we have the place for you. Search Handmade by Vincent Ferrari on your favorite web browser, where his motto is custom for everyone. Whether it's custom woodwork, laser engraving, or jewelry, what you want is only a request away. So visit friend and supporter of the show, Vincent Ferrari, on Instagram and the World Wide Web. Mention code MFIO and Vincent will give you 10% off.
I'm Sam Wilkinson and I'm a maker figuring it out.
And we're back with our guest, Char Miller King, the Wooden Maven. Thanks for still being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm enjoying it.
How did you come up with the name? Well, I mean, I know what a maven is because I had to look it up in the dictionary. But how did you come up with that name?
That's exactly why I chose that name, because I knew most people would have to look it up. I wanted to go with something that was sophisticated, that kind of gave that like sense of mystery. You know, what is a wooden maven? What does a maven do? Even though at the time I by no means thought that I was an expert or a connoisseur in wood, but sometimes we have to aspire to be what we really want to be, right? And nothing's better than that, than actually putting it out there. So I think I was looking for, I didn't want to say wood expert or anything, because I wasn't, and I somehow came across the term maven. I said, perfect. Oh, that flows.
Yeah. This is a term that really resonated with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit that you did it. It worked on me, because I'm like, What exactly is a maven?
Yeah, Drivel. I had to look it up too. And
mission like, accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. So
you got
some
two
of
us.
Knowledgeable, connoisseur, expert, and like I said, maybe not necessarily an expert, but somebody that, you know, you've gathered knowledge over the course of many years. So,
well, not that many years.
Not that many old, years. Not you.
Oh, I mean, our guest. He's not that old.
She's not that old either.
He's
I'm saying,
but like, that's, you know, you're like over the years. It's like, you know, centuries.
You keep telling me how young I am, but I've been doing my job for over a decade, for like 12, 13 years.
You're still a kid. You're still a kid.
Yeah, I know.
I was only able to do my job for 2 decades.
2 decades, yeah. Just two.
Just two. That was a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm. But before we move on, should we plug our 52nd episode that's coming on?
We have a 52nd episode.
We do. It's our 1 year anniversary coming up very soon.
Hey, anniversary.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a crazy ride.
It
to
has
say
been,
the least.
Because I get to deal with this character.
Yeah, and vice versa.
I know. I love you, man.
Love you too, brother.
Right here.
And we have a pretty cool challenge coming up, actually, just to celebrate that, you know, 1 year anniversary coming up, our Raise the Bar challenge. So, and we have a few more of the details locked down. So
we do.
It's well, I thought we did after the last show, but
I don't know. Was I here?
I could be wrong. Yeah, you were here physically, I think.
Okay. Mentally, we're different.
Mentally, very, very mentally different.
Very mental. So, thanks, man.
If you recall, it's an alcohol display or something that displays a drink of some sort.
A beverage. It's
a beverage, sitting, standing, or hanging. It's going to be made of at least 2 different materials or more. And it's going to be judged on overall appearance, creativity, difficulty, and practicality.
And however much you pay us.
Yeah, exactly. Just slide us that on the low.
You know, sponsorship does work. Not really.
We can't be bought.
No, we can't be bought.
Speak for yourself.
I was going to say, oh, I can't. It all depends. It depends on what.
Be bought. I'm not above that.
Okay. We don't need to know. Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a price for everybody, probably. But so we digress back to the challenge. So yeah, Raise the Bar. My buddy came up with that name. Jacob actually came up with the challenge. We batted it around a lot.
Did I come?
I don't recall. Yeah, I do. I have it on video or audio or something along those lines.
There's some proof somewhere.
Right.
But yeah, and just for everybody's own knowledge, we're going to start the challenge from May 28th through June 28th. So it's going to go on for a month.
Yep. 1 month, and then we're going to try and do a live show for the revealing of the winners, or I don't know what you call them. Just winners. Because everybody's a winner because you get to make something. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone gets a participation trophy.
Right. Well, you probably get a sticker from us. And well, I do have special stickers made up. Well, they're designed. I just haven't made them into stickers yet. But we have special stickers. So if you actually join and do the challenge, you get a sticker that is going to be one of a kind.
Nice.
So it better be hot. It'll be one of a kind for about 50 people if we have that many.
Holographic or it doesn't count. That's all I got to say.
Are you going to pay for it?
Maybe.
Okay.
Someone's going to. I don't know who it is exactly yet.
Yeah. Probably going to be.
But we digress. But we digress.
We had to shout out our 2 sponsors on Buy Me a Coffee.
Yep. So it's David Reynolds from First Do Woodworks and Tony Langer from Langer Works. And then we got our 2 sponsors here on Anchor as well. So we got Vincent Ferrari from Handmade by Vincent Ferrari and Marion Ward from the Creative Ward Gallery. All our very wonderful sponsors help support our show and help us to keep doing what we love to do.
And we've mentioned this in the last podcast, Not that we're trying to, you know, get more money out of you or anything like that, because we totally are. But if the next, if we can get a $5 donator, $5 a month donation on Buy Me a Coffee or Instagram, we are going to discontinue our 1 minute commercial. So it would just be our sponsors who are our friends and not some big corporate, you know, money grabbing people. So,
which hopefully they never listen to that.
Hopefully they don't listen to that. But hey, they're in money. They're in business to make money. So can't blame them. But yeah, we're just this one. I want this show to be sponsored by people who actually listen and not some, you know, corporate bigwig kind of thing.
Yep. For sure.
I like to be simple.
We get that.
That was
Char.
You had an open line for that, and you didn't take it.
I completely missed that.
We got a great guest.
So we actually want to go back to her and thank you, Char, for being patient with us and doing all of our, you know, money grubbing, you know, shout outs,
begging, and
hey, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah,
exactly. So speaking of like supporting, you have, you know, you have your four children, you have, you know, you have your husband. Like, do you have, like, with what you do now, do you feel like you have a really good support system that helps you out to do what you love to do?
Oh yeah. I've got a whole tribe of people that are my ride or dies. I can pick up the phone and call for help or support or get questions answered just from the relationships that I've made over the years. I think social media has definitely helped with that a lot. And I just feel so grateful to have other friends that are in the same space as me and have gone through some of the things that I have gone through, and they're able to guide me, and we can lean on each other for support. So I'm grateful for my husband, who gets me and understands what I'm doing, and the kids are so helpful with my projects and holding the camera for me, because can't always hire a professional videographer or photographer, but thank goodness I have a bunch that live in the house.
Never know, you may get one out of the, you know, out of your kids.
You get a one, yeah, one in four chance.
I know, right? Chances are good. I'll take the 25%.
Yeah. Do you have one that seems to be leaning towards the making or part of the filmography or anything like that?
Oh yeah, they all play a role. The twins have dubbed themselves the Maker Squad twins. Nice. They have their own set of tools. You know, we kind of banter about scrap wood. What they think is scrap wood is not always scrap wood, because it's usually like my nice walnut. My son is great at holding the camera for me, and my daughter, she's sort of like my sounding board. Like, okay, what do you think about this idea? I have to come up with, you know, content for this, and she just like, she comes up with stuff off the cuff. And my husband like clears all my pictures. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this one, or do you like this one? And most of the pictures you see on Instagram, they have been vetted and approved by my husband before I post them. So I'm glad that I have this sort of kind of like free PR team.
Yeah, you have your whole production crew there. It's amazing. Yeah,
pretty much. And exactly. I did notice that you actually embrace having your, you know, when your kids come into the shot or something like that, and you actually bring them in some of them.
Oh, yeah.
And you just did a commercial with one, was it the twins or?
Yeah, with the twins.
Yeah. And you actually showed that on Instagram, didn't you?
Yeah. So we went to North Carolina down to Pettit Farms to do a commercial with Carhartt. And the basis of the commercial was just talking about the ins and outs and the ups and downs of being a mother. You know, it's stressful, it's hard, it's exhausting, it's tiring, it's rewarding, it's loving, it's fun. It's just all wrapped up into one. And I really feel like the production team did a great job capturing all the different emotions that come with being a mom.
Yeah.
It was a great experience. And I just love doing production work, because if you haven't done it, it's to see the amount of work that goes into something that seems so quick to the viewer always impresses me. I mean, we were there mm-hmm. for 2 days. There was probably maybe 40 or 50 people there on the production side. And I mean, equipment everywhere. I mean, there was someone for everything. And it just, the commercial happens so quick, you have to watch it again. you never know how much time and effort goes into those things. But I do feel very grateful to have the opportunity to work with brands that actually support what it's like to be a working mom, you know, in a non-traditional field. And then to be able to have my children see that firsthand is super, super important, that they know how much work goes into it, that they know what to do, that they're little actresses themselves, you know, because they had to play a role also. So it was a lot of fun. I hope everybody gets a chance to check it out. It's also on Carhartt's YouTube channel. I'm not sure where else they're going to put it out. I haven't received that information yet, but it's on Carhartt, and there's some photos of us on Carhartt's website, and then I have it posted to my Instagram feed.
Yeah, you're gonna post it around the world because that's where it belongs.
I know. I need to do better on social media. I don't post like half of the stuff that I do.
Are you kidding me? Like with having what 11,000 followers and over almost 450 posts, like you need to do better.
If I told you that I felt like I probably put maybe 30-40% into Instagram, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true.
It is hard to believe, but I can honestly believe it after talking with you, with just the amount of work that you do in a day. Between, you know, like I said, all your brand deals and wood shop and everything else that you do, and being a mother of four and a wife all at the same time. And are you in Atlanta? Or are you in Decatur?
Nope. Downtown Atlanta. We're right in the city.
In downtown Atlanta, right there. And like, funny enough, I was there not too long ago. And like Stephanie from Uncommon Outpost is the one that recommended you to us. Like she told me when I got to meet her like while me and my girl were over there just for the weekend, and she's like, you gotta check out Char, and she's incredible. So she's the reason why you're here right now.
I love Stephanie. She is so cool. Like when she first moved to Atlanta, she told me it was like right in the midst of the pandemic, and we were like, okay, when this is over, we got to see each other, because I actually met her last year, 2020, when she was in Atlanta before she actually moved here. We got to hang out for a little bit, but I have not been able to see her since. But I guess, well, things are dying down somewhat and people are getting vaccinated. They're more willing to hang out now. But
yep. So you were at your Workbench Con then?
Yeah.
Yep. I knew you looked familiar.
Yep, I was there last year and the year before. Last year I spoke. I was on a panel last year. And we did the party, the opening night party. It was Alma Pink Soul Studios and Ethan Carter Designs. And
Ethan Carter, our buddy.
That's my boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we did a little party together, and that was a lot of fun. So we're trying to do it even bigger for next year.
Yeah, I was really bummed that I couldn't go to 2020s and that this year was canceled, unfortunately, just because with everything going on. I was like, man, I just started getting to know and like getting hyped about all these people, and now I can't actually see them.
I know.
Damn it.
But by next year, you'll have even stronger connections and bonds with people. And it'll more special next year when we're all together again.
We'll be able to wear our t-shirts. Yeah, we'll be able to wear our t-shirts.
Because no one wears a t-shirt with their logo on it at all.
Nope. I don't know. Some people don't, you know.
Yeah, that's just like cheesy.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do that. Absolutely. I don't know who would do that either, you know.
But yeah, just to be able to meet and see everybody, and just like from all the stories that I hear about, you know, just, you know, hanging out and just, you know, drinking, having fun, and just sharing.
Oh yeah, there's information there too.
I'm sure there's information somewhere in there.
I forgot about the classes. I think I probably went to maybe like two, maybe three.
Even she forgot about the classes, because that's not the point. The point is connecting.
Actually, I went down there to go to the classes. Then I got roped into all the fun after activities. Exactly. And that's where I met a lot of people that, you know, I have to credit them to, you know.
It's networking. That's what it is. That's what we're all there for, is networking.
I thought it was just getting drunk and having fun.
Networking.
Is that what it's called now?
That's the adulting term for it, is networking.
Oh, adulting term. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not drinking. This is social lubricant for my networking.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back, though. It was actually really kind of, I think the second year is probably going to be, the second time I go is probably going to be the first, is better, because the first time you go is you're just like, all these people, oh, there's that one, and here's this one. Oh my God, do you see who's over there? And you're like, you're just kind of starstruck. And then, you know, then you go to the classes, and now the next time I go, it's kind of like, oh, hey, Jeff. Hey, Chris.
Right. And hey, and then you see Char giving a presentation.
You'd be like, no, yeah. She was on my podcast.
I'm just here to be friends. Talk shop.
Yep.
Well, Char, we know you got to go pretty soon, so we'll start wrapping this up. So the final question before we'll ask you before we get into our maker shout outs and the question is, what does the future look like for you? You know, you've done TV, you've done commercials, you have your blog posts. Like, what's next?
Probably my own show.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, like, I will... on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, probably my own show soon.
Is that actually in the works,
the thing about production is they make you sign this cute little piece of paper that says NDA on top, and it limits you. You know, from what you can share, what you can say. I mean, there's kinda things like that I've done that I can't post about yet, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, my security clearance in the military.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have the need to know. And
exactly.
If you do, then you're going to get, well, in the military, you lose money and pay and rank. And probably in this case, you would lose sponsorships. And yeah. You don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen. But the thing about television is it's a lot of hurry up and wait and hurry up and wait.
Right.
So
that definitely sounds like the military.
Most definitely.
But I'm here for the long haul. So when it comes out, it'll come out, and you know, I'll blast it everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be excited to see it, and we'll blast it everywhere as well.
I'm excited now. I mean, not that there's anything happening at all, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a normal day. You know, I'm just waiting for your videos to come out. That's all.
Yeah. Just a normal day.
Just a normal day in the shop, teaching kids.
La, 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 la. Nobody famous coming over. La, la, la.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, kids, all right. Should we get into our maker shout outs?
Yes, we should.
And since we have a guest, it's only polite that we let our guest go first. So, Char, you've had the whole show, not that we've been distracting at all, to figure out who you want to shout out.
Who I want to shout out. So I'm a part of this group, the Maker Squad, and these are my girls, my go-tos, my ride or dies, the no holds bar. We tell it all. Katie with Freeman Furnishings, who also runs a podcast. It used to be Maker Mom Podcast. Now it's Wonder Women Pod. Alma with Pink Soul Studios, and Jesse from Built by Jesse.
Oh, nice.
So those are my girls, and then I have some hometown girls here in Georgia, who are the most amazing, beautiful people I know. Sarah, Ugly Duckling DIY, Aaron Spain blog, and Uni with Love Your Bold, and that's the hometown crew.
That's awesome. That's a lot of great makers in here. I will definitely find time to look at all those later.
I have to friend a bunch of people or hook up or follow. That's the word, follow.
But I've actually heard of a few of those, and they are impressive with the quality. Not just the amount of work that they've done, but the quality of work that they do is incredible.
Yeah, I heard about the Maker Mom podcast before, and I was like, that is just so cool. Mm-hmm. You know. But have I listened to it yet? No.
You should listen. Podcasts.
Oh, I gotta. Yeah, there's so much to listen to now. So many things. But yeah, I definitely have to listen to that. Speaking of that, Jacob, you have some shout outs to do.
I do.
And I know we discussed this one beforehand.
We did. We've actually, he came up earlier in the conversation. So one of my shout outs, I actually have two, is Ethan Carter, Ethan Carter Designs. So with his pattern leather that he did this pattern leather, and he made a clock and a mirror out of it. And I just thought, first off, that's really cool. It's like, yeah, I messaged him the other day. It's like, sexy, unnecessary leather, for sure. It's like the running joke is his unnecessary leather. But I love that he's always pushing the envelope with like what he can do. Like first was like the different designs of wallets and, different projects and like the key fobs and what have you. And now like this pattern leather that he got inspired by Michael Alm from. So I just think it's incredible. He keeps like on pushing himself. Like if Ethan wasn't doing what he's doing, he would be a chef. Truthfully, he keeps pushing himself and pushing his skill. So he's one of my shout outs because he's cool. And like that project was really amazing. And then the other, shout out that I have.
You can stop kissing his butt.
God, I just can't. No, there's just so much of it to kiss.
Well, I was just like, he's been on the show already twice.
He has.
And so many other makers shout out. So I was just like, you don't have to kiss his ass anymore, dude. He's friends with us.
I'm going. All right. So the second shout out that I have is Making Our Way podcast with Dean, Christy, and Austin. So they just started their podcast. They're on episode 2 now. And I like they shouted us out because Dean was on here and it inspired him to get on. So I just started listening to them. I think they're doing a great job and I can't wait to hear more. So Steve, what's your shout out?
I don't have a shout out. What is going on?
Like none?
No, actually, I don't have a shout out this week. So you took mine out.
All right, cool. So I took yours already. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just took one. Yeah.
One too many. Well, my bad. I appreciate it. But
that's okay.
I think Char and I did enough shout outs for everybody here, though.
Most definitely.
So, Char, the last and final thing, and I swear that we'll let you go, is we asked all of our guests. You have a choice between how did you meet your significant other or your celebrity crush. So yeah, you got your pick. Which do you choose?
I'm gonna go with my spouse. We met. Am I echoing? I'm echoing on my end.
Nope. Attention.
We're echoing in everybody's end.
Yeah, no worries.
It pops in. It pops out.
I was going to get my hair done. He was getting his hair cut. And the moment I saw him, I knew that we were going to get married one day. And we have been together for gosh, 19 years, almost 20 years.
Wow. That's impressive. Like you just saw him and said like, he's the one.
I didn't tell him because I didn't want to think I was crazy. Like, we're going to get married one day. but I mean, it was something told me that we would be married one day. We got married exactly 7 years after the day that we met. And when I first saw him, I really didn't say anything to him and he didn't say anything to me. And he overheard me talking to his barber about a party that I was hosting that evening. And he showed up at the party and he said, "Weren't you at the barbershop earlier?" And I said, "Yeah." And we just kind of hit it off from there and have been inseparable ever since. He is the love of my life and he is an amazing father to our children. And thank goodness he is extremely intelligent, because past third grade math, I cannot help you. And having virtual school for a year, and I'm just like, I can't do this.
You're like, this is horrible.
Right? I'm like, no. So yeah, he's the yin to my yang. He's just really smart. He's got like 3 degrees. Went back and got his master's when our youngest was first born, and
overachiever.
He comes from a great family. His parents moved here recently to help us. They moved to Atlanta, so they live about 5 minutes away, which is great. And we have a really good relationship. We respect each other's time and each other's space. And
I really wish our listeners could see your facial expressions, because the entire time that you were talking about your husband, you had this big old smile. And wow. It's just so refreshing to see somebody, you know, still in love with their spouse after that many years. Have four kids. You could just look at you and you're like, that's a happy woman. Mm-hmm. That is a real happy woman.
Yeah. No, I hit the jackpot with him for sure. I'll say that. He's a good guy.
Though I got to tell you, just from what I heard from your story and what you said, I guarantee you he was thinking the same exact thing about you. So when you were talking about that party, he was taking notes. Like, she told me where she's going to be and she gave me the address.
Yeah.
I'm like, jackpot.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sly guy right there.
I'm saying he got slick moves.
It was just meant to be. The year that I met him, so we met in July and we kind of, you know, talked for 6 months, just kind of as friends. And Christmas came around, said, "Oh, you're going home." Home for me is California. "Yeah, I'm going to California." And he says, "Well, my brother just moved to California. He just moved to LA. So I'll be going too for Christmas." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, what part?" And it turns out that his brother moved 10 minutes away from my family.
Wow.
So over the years, when we go home, it's like, okay, we spend like a couple of days, you know, with my family, a couple of days like at his brother's place. And now, so his brother and his wife, they have 2 girls. My mom has like formed a relationship with them. So she like helps with their kids. They have like their own relationship. And I think it's beautiful how our families just mesh together and everything just works. And the kind of joke is that it was meant to be. So my husband's name is Jeff with a G, and all of my uncles and my boy cousins, all of their names start with the letter G. So he just kind of like slides right in there.
Kind of freaky.
I love it. I think it's cool. He's
like you said, meant to be.
That's one of our best stories that we've had.
It is. That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good story. Yeah.
And we've had some doozies on here.
Yep. Oh, speaking of doozies, we got Jacobs coming up on episode 52.
Yeah. We won't talk about that now.
We won't throw that in there.
I know. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mine's a hell of a story.
Right. Can't wait to hear that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think you'd like it. But since we are appreciative of your time, Shara, thank you so much for being on here with us and allowing us to, you know, you know, take up some of your time and get to know you a lot better.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate you coming out and, you know, spending time with us. Definitely.
Yeah, we've been really incredible getting it. Been incredible getting to know you, and we can't wait to see what you do next.
Me too. Should be exciting.
Yep.
Not nervous at all. Not nervous at all. All right, should I take us out?
Yes, sir. Please do. Let's go home.
All righty. So here at Makers Figuring It Out, it is our mission to educate, motivate, and inspire. And we hope we've done that for you today. So this is Steve and Jacob telling you to keep learning, keep being motivated, keep getting inspired, and keep figuring it out.
And
we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.